Erev Tov. Last Thursday, we tried to describe what exactly it is that we're meant to accomplish by the concept of Kabbalah Salma Hashemayim, which, as we noted in the first year, was such a central part of the mitzvah itself. That in terms of Kavana, as we noted in the first year, not only does one need Kavana to be yotzei in the mitzvah, but also the theme of the Shema, which is Kabbalah Salma Hashemayim. And we try to explain it just in summary, that it's parallel to the process of Har Sinai, the process of Geirus. That just like, and this is something I didn't really mention, which I should have, that just like a prospective convert to Judaism, he requires to take upon himself both Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, which means that he has to view the entire Torah as divinely written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Hashem has the right to legislate and to tell His creations how to act in the world in all ways, and that basically the Ger has to sign in the dotted line, so to speak, that he's willing to commit to all of that. And if he's not willing to commit to all of that, so there's no such thing as a half conversion. If the convert would state, as the Gemara thing in Bechoros indicates, that let's say the convert says, I'll keep all the mitzvahs in the Torah, and according to many Rishonim, it even applies to mitzvahs derabanan, that and I'm not going to send Shalach Manas on Purim. That's not my thing. Or I'm going to keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah, but, you know, I have a hard time at work as it is, that now that I'm going to be Jewish, so I don't want to keep Yom Tov. Or I'll keep the first day of Yom Tov and not the second day of Yom Tov. This way I'll be able to work at least half the days. Or I'm going to work on Chol Hamoed, let's say, in a way that you're not allowed to. A lot of heterim for working Chol Hamoed. So the Beis Din has no choice but to tell the convert that that's not our religion. He has to commit totally to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. It doesn't mean that the Ger will not sin. We all sin. Both people who are Jewish from birth and those who convert to Judaism. But if the attitude of the Ger is that I'm not committed to keeping certain mitzvahs, that's not for me. So we can't accept him. So as we try to point out that that's not only true for the convert, that's true for Jews themselves. Except the only difference is that Jews themselves are born into Judaism. So they are bound by these mitzvahs whether they like it or not. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he asks of us, he also commands us that in order to make our whole life meaningful, that we should constantly be recommitting to that total package of Judaism, day in, day out. And we do that in the three steps of the three parashios of the Shema. We reaccept Hashem's sovereignty, that He is the boss of the whole world, so we have no choice but to listen to the Commander-in-Chief. And then in the second parasha, by accepting His commandments, so that all of the commandments that we fulfill, and the ones that we avoid, the negative commandments that we avoid, are not just done as individual acts of choice, but as manifestations of our total commitment to the package deal of Torah Hashem. So two times a day we remind ourselves of that total commitment, that each of the mitzvahs are done in that background. And then we mentioned that the Shema does that in a maximal way concerning the whole Torah itself, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty, but the Avodah writes that we do that also by brachos. Each time we do a mitzvah, we recite a bracha, and the content of that bracha is once again those two themes. The Kabbalah Asal Malchus Shemayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abarach Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, you're the boss of the world, you're the king of the world, you're the sovereign. Asher Kedishanu Mitzvos, Vitzivanu, and you commanded us in all of your mitzvahs, not just this one. And you commanded us in this specific mitzvah which we are now about to perform. So that's what the Avodah writes, that it's not even necessary to say such a bracha on the Shema, because the Shema itself expresses that commitment as well, both of accepting Hashem's sovereignty and also of Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. I wanted to turn today to an analysis based on the classic Mefarshim of just the words of the Shema, and more or less, we'll digress here and there to change the number three, but just to give three perushim on each of the words of the Shema, or each of the phrases of the Shema. Three perushim on Shema, three on Yisrael, three on Hashem Elokeinu, and three on Hashem Echad. Different aspects of what these phrases tell us. And it's a very instructive comment that I saw in two places, in Shnei Nevi'im, Nesnabim, B'Signon Echad, but oftentimes different writers and different speakers and totally different vantage points, they come up with the same idea. And that is that according to many interpretations, as we'll see, not all, but many interpretations of the Shema, One can easily contrast the recital of the Shema with the Tfilas Hashmon Esrei in the following way. This idea was presented by Rav Pinchas Young, who was apparently a popular speaker on Tfilah. I had never heard of him before. Someone lent me a series of tapes, beautiful series of tapes on Tfilah, but then I saw that his name was advertised elsewhere. And also in the classic Likut anthology on Tfilah called Nesiv Bina by Rav Yisachar Yaakovson, Zichron Levracha, from Eretz Yisrael. So he also has the same idea also on his own, and that is the following. That in Shmon Esrei, obviously, we are talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are davening to him, we're praying to him, that's the essence of Tfilah, that we are talking to Hashem Yisborach, as if he's right near us. In the Shema, we're also talking. But who are we talking to? So just a cursory glance at the text, the simple pshat is that we're talking to ourselves. We're recommitting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to his Torah. So what these two thinkers suggested is that the imagery of the Shema is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. Of course, we're not Nevi'im. We're not prophets, so we're not actually Zocha, as Klal Yisrael were in the Midbar, and as the Nevi'im throughout the centuries, and as Moshe Rabbeinu was on a constant level, to actually have Hashem Yisborach talk to us. But Hashem Yisborach talks to us through the words of His Torah. So every night and every day when we recite the Shema, we are then hearing the message of Sinai all over again. And the imagery is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to us and telling us and tapping us on the shoulder and telling us, Shema Yisrael, listen here, Reb Yid, Reb Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu did exactly that. He was telling us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from his prophecy, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's the way it was written in the Torah, in Chumash Dvarim. So too, every day we recite the Shema, it's as if Hashem Yisborach, we're hearing his message. And what is his message? To be makabel is his malchus, to be makabel is mitzvos, and as we'll see briefly later, the third parsha of actually performing the mitzvos. So you have this duality in the according to that approach, a fascinating approach, that the tefillah is a two-way communication. Rabbi Soloveitchik, as Hatzal often used to say, that tefillah and prophecy are two sides of the same coin, they all represent divine communication. It depends who's doing the talking. Nevuah HaKadosh Baruch was talking, and tefillah, we're doing the talking. But according to this idea, when we take the package deal of the Siddur, including the Kriya Shema as well, so it's really a two-way communication. Not on the level of Nevuah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us to the words of the Shema, and of course we speak to him as well. Many have developed a similar theme concerning Kriya Satorah, that the imagery of Kriya Satorah is that we relive Mamar Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to us. It's a very central part of the Tefillah. This is where Hashem speaks to us, and as opposed to the Shemon Esrei, we speak to him. So in that regard, the first series of meanings of Shema Yisrael have a more intense point of focus. And the Avadram, in his commentary on the Siddur, notes that the Shema throughout Tanakh has three different meanings, as it does in English as well. They say a joke, you know, if you have an Israeli cab driver, so first the dispatcher says, Roni, Shema! Says, Shema. So what does that mean? It means I hear. Says, Roni, pick up this guy over there, then turn right, etc. Shema! Says, Shema. What does that Shema mean? He already knows that you hear it. It means, I accept what you said. Yes, I'm going to do it. Or I understand what you just said. So you can have a whole conversation with just the word Shema, because it means at least three things. It means, the way the Avadram puts it in technical terms, Nichnas b'chush ha-shema, right, that you biologically hear. It could also mean that you understand, and it could also mean that you accept. I mean, Rebbe pointed out, Rav Shechter Shlita, that these two meanings play themselves out in a famous dispute that the Gemara Baruchas has between Rabbi Yehuda Nasi on the one hand, and the Chachamim on the other, as to how halachically to interpret the word Shema. And that is it necessary when you recite the Shema to actually hear what you're saying? And is it possible to recite the Shema in a different language? So Rav Yehuda Nasi's opinion is that you have to hear what you say in the Shema. If you don't hear your words, then you're not Yotze in the Mitzvah. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda Nasi holds that you can't say it in any language. You have to say it in Hebrew, in Lashon Kodesh. And Chachamim say the exact opposite, that you can recite it in any language. It's Nemeretz B'chal Lashon. And you do not, at least b'di'evit, ex post facto, l'chadchila, you're supposed to try to hear what you have to say, but b'di'evit you are yotzei without hearing it. So, what are they arguing about? They're arguing as to what the word Shema means. According to the Chachamim's approach, that you could say the Shema in every language, but you need not actually hear it. So they're assuming that at least in a halachic way of reading it, al derech medrash halacha, Shema means havein, understand. So any language that you understand, you yotzei with. So the Frenchman could recite in French, and the Spaniard could recite in Spanish, and so on and so forth. And Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says you have to hear it. So he's going with the first meaning, that you actually have to hear it. So although al derech halacha, they have that dispute as to whether or not Shema means to hear or to understand, but the Avodram says that both meanings should be kept in mind, in terms of just the basic meaning of the words, that it both means to physically hear, and also to understand, and then he adds in another meaning, of course, to accept Shema, that I accept this message, which is, of course, the essence of what the Shema is all about, an acceptance of the themes that are mentioned therein. So it's interesting that Rav Sajagon, in his Amunas Vidaeus, I believe, and he has, I forgot exactly the context, but he has some kind of digression where he discusses the meanings of the Shema, and he says that Shema means two things. It means to understand, and it means to accept. But he omits the first meaning, the meaning to hear. Why does he omit the first meaning? So I would assume, because that's trivial. That's not what the Shema is all about, just to hear. Obviously, you're hearing. And certainly, lahalacha, we accept the approach to be the evidence even if you don't hear what you're saying. So the essence of the word Shema, and the context of what we're saying, is that you should accept the themes of the Shema, and you should understand them, each according to their own abilities, to understand what it means to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. What does it mean that Hashem is the King? In what way is He one? Exactly in what way? A simple pshat, as we'll see later, is He's one and not two. A deeper pshat is He's one and He's the only one. There's no other, nothing in the world besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which needs a lot of thought to understand that, because there are lots of things besides Hashem in the world. So what that means exactly needs understanding. So we understand what it means to understand, to be makabel. But the first idea of hearing, so Sajigon omits, because that's pashit. So I wanted to suggest an approach that why the Avodram thinks that that's also an important theme of the Shema, just to hear. Why that's, they shouldn't take that for granted. And just to tie it into an idea that I heard from my one of my Rosh Yeshiva of Goldov Satzal, Chaim Yaakov Goldov from Keren B'Yavne, where he gave he always used to teach us this idea, so it finally sunk in after the fifth or sixth time. At in Parashat Mishpatim, we read about the Eved Ivri, that the Eved Ivri, the Jewish slave, is supposed to work for 6 years because he stole or because he sold himself into slavery or servitude. So if he doesn't want to leave his master, so the procedure is that the master bores his ear in the doorpost, and then he stays until Yovel, until the 50th year. And the Medrash Chazal, Rashi quotes it in Chumash, states that why after the ear, why was the ear chosen to be the limb that should be subjected to pain as a result of this? Because the Ozen Shesham Alai Sinai, Loi Signal, not to steal, and this person went ahead and stole, so and he wants to kind of wallow in that state that reminds him of his state of why he was sold into slavery to start out with, so it has to be pierced. Or, Ozen Shesham al Sinai, Ki Avodai Heim, V'lo Avodim L'Avodim, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, that I'm your master, I'm your melech, and you are going to be Kona Eved La'atzmacha, you sell yourself into slavery and get another master, so this ear has to be pierced if you want to stay in that state of slavery. So Rav Goldov Zatzal asked, he said, so the same logic could apply to any limb. Ha'ayin, Sherasa, Kairos of Brachim al Arsinai, and as the Midrashim put it, the eyes saw the words coming out, so to speak, out of a Kavash Baruch's mouth. So they should be pierced. As the Golf Satsal lived before the era of body piercing, so he didn't have the obvious joke to say. Nowadays it would be pretty normal to do that, right? So, or the Raglayim, the feet that stood at Arsinai, at attention. So they should be pierced. Or the hands that stood at Har Sinai, they were also, the Har Sinai experience encompassed the whole body, so why dafka the ear? So they explained to us that, from Musa Sfarim, that there's something we call the Koyach HaShmiya, which doesn't just mean the biological ability to hear, but that the biological ability to hear then in turn allows a person to be receptive to new ideas. And he pointed out, he gave an analysis of, if you have a speaker who's very inspirational, so he comes on Shabbos, a scholar in residence, and he inspires many people to change their lifestyles, each in their own way, for the better in terms of connecting close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So more often than not, all the commitments go out with the Havdalah wine. That's the expression he always used. So as soon as you pour out the Havdalah wine, so all the Kabbalahs just disappear. And Nichnas Bozen Achat V'yotzei Bozen Sheni. One ear out the other. So then he suggested, but I like to add in that expression, that as it's going through from one ear out the other, so it, a little bit remains in the gray matter there in the brain. Nichnas Bozen Achat V'yotzei Bozen Sheni Al-Mashu Nishar. Something remains. So if you have such a person who's constantly inspired by a variety of life events, or speakers, etc., or Torah study, or various encounters in life, eventually enough of those little mashus, enough of those little bits of inspiration, gather together, and then it doesn't get spilled out with Havdalah wine. He actually changes for better. So of course, Golf Zatzal was Rosh Hashiva, so he always taught us about the centrality of Torah study, so his example of change of was the Balabas who puts more hours into Torah study, or takes a vacation from work to spend full-time Torah study. But each in their own way in Avodas Hashem, it certainly could be applied as well. So it says that then you have that same person who is in the audience and he has an Eved Ivri. So that Eved Ivri, he shuts off the ears because it's irrelevant to him. What, he's a servant. So that means what he's going to tell his boss who says, I need you to clean my shoes now. So he says, I'm sorry, I'm learning Daf Yomi. So he said, I need you to do my taxes now. So he says, I'm sorry, I'm busy learning Musar. So what do you mean? You're a full-time employee. Yom V'layla, you have to work for me. So he can't change. He can't make any changes in his life. So ultimately what the Eved Ivri did is he gave away his Koach HaShmiya. He gave away his ability to be receptive to new ideas because he doesn't have his own time. His boss has his own time. He has the free choice to do with his time what he wants. But he has that gift of the ability to, of Koach HaShmiya, of being able to change. So perhaps that's the one idea of what the Avodah is driving at, why it's not trivial to say that to hear is also a madrega. Because not everyone necessarily, when they're reciting the Shema, is necessarily on that level where they're willing to makabel the whole Torah. Sometimes the Kabbalah is a little lacking. Not everyone is ready to understand all of it. They haven't necessarily studied it yet. But the first step of the Shema is that one has to be receptive to the message of the Torah. And if there's a mitzvah that a person finds difficult to do, but at least they shouldn't close it off, it's something they strive to get to. And if there's a concept that they find difficult to understand about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's relationship with us, that they shouldn't just dismiss it. They should eventually, Eshna Perek Zeh, get to it and I'll understand it a little more and be able to be receptive to it. So these three ideas, the idea of being receptive to the message of the Torah, and all the more so to be makabel it, to accept it as our life mission, and also each according to their own, through Talmud Torah and through studying the aspects of mitzvot in general and also of divine unity, help guide us in our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that daily recital of the Shema reminds us of our threefold obligation: to be receptive, to accept the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His Torah, and also to understand it and constantly strive to understand more and more, each according to their own abilities. So Be'ez Hashem, on Thursday, we'll turn to the word Yisroel. We'll cover some other words too, because we have to move to Shemon Esrei.